Good afternoon, brethren. Pentecost 2026 has now been celebrated and even appreciated by God's church around the world. But now that it has come and gone, what lessons have we retained from God's special holy day time? Using Acts 2, let's look back at that first New Testament past Pentecost. Let's look back at that first New Testament Pentecost in celebration in Jerusalem. Let's look at that. So the title of my message is, It's the Finish, Not the Start That Counts. It's the finish, not the start, that really counts. We'll begin reading at verse 1, and I don't know if you noticed, but I did not mark my Bible today. For all of you that actually use a Bible, you're going to have to turn there to Acts 2. And so will I, because I didn't even put markers in it. I remember the old days when I didn't even know about markers, and my Bible was not as worn out as it is now. Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they, whoever they are, were all with one accord in one place. And I don't know if you remember all the jokes that they used to make. When accords first came out, they were all in one accord, you know. And do you guys remember that joke? That was a really stupid joke. And we all laughed at that. They were all in one accord, you know. Accord. Anyway. So, verse 2, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. So they were in some sort of a building. We've read this many times, and it certainly stirs our imagination. You know, if you're, okay, we're sitting in this building, and if we heard the sound of a mighty rushing wind right now, oh, we heard that earlier, didn't we? Yeah, some of us did when they were tuning up the microphones. It sounded like a mighty rushing wind. Thank you, Father. That was great. Acts 2, verses 5 through 13, seem to show that the previous amazing happenings were witnessed by many. You know, we're going to read that down the road. And this is what I've always believed, and I still believe. Let's read it again, Acts 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all, whoever they all are, with one accord in one place. Who were these all? I want to know who these all were. It's not defined within Scripture who these all were. It's not, yeah, we'll get there. I see somebody pointing in the Bible to, down the road a piece. Okay, they received, these all, received God's Holy Spirit, but others didn't. The all that are being referred to in verse 2 received God's Holy Spirit. But the others did not receive God's Holy Spirit. I can prove that very easily, and most of you can too, if you just read down a little bit more. Some of the others actually accuse the ones who had received the Holy Spirit as being drunk. Why? Why did they accuse them? Because they started worshiping God in tongues that were not should not have been coming out of these Galileans. They said, they're all Galileans. How come they're speaking in all this other language? Not only were they speaking in another language, but the people that heard them understood. It wasn't gibberish. It wasn't garbled. The people who heard the speakers understood what was being spoken, the wonders of God. The 120 who received God's Holy Spirit weren't totally isolated somewhere off. I mean, they weren't, maybe they were here, maybe they were there. I know people have argued with me academically about this. You know, some were saying they were over here and some were saying over there. But I'll tell you one thing, reading my Bible, obviously other people heard them, right? It says it right there. They must have been relatively close to the temple area because when God's Holy Spirit miraculously descended on the 120 in a very meaningful and audible way, everyone who heard it came to see what it meant. Now let's read Acts 2, verse 6. Acts 2, verse 6. And when the sound occurred, the multitude, this is more than two or three people, the multitude came together and were confused because everyone heard them, the speakers, speak in his or her own language. This is a miracle. This is not gobbledygook, you know. The people, and there were plenty, we've estimated before a low number of 30,000 in Jerusalem at that time. Other scholarly people have said 150,000 come for the holy days. Now let's read Acts 2, verse 8. Acts 2, verse 8 and says, and how is it that we here in our own language in which we were born? It's exactly what I was saying. These people who came from different countries, all the known countries of the world, heard whoever was speaking in their own language. If that's not a miracle, I don't know what it is. I visited way back over 50 years ago, I visited places that spoke in what is called glossalia. Glossalia? However you say that word. And I didn't understand anything that the person was going on with. And I went home and I told Suzanne, I don't want to go back there. It's kind of weird. So anyway, moving on. Of course, as recorded, the people came to see the cause of this mighty rushing wind. They also began to hear these 120 speaking in real languages that they understood very well. Now let's read 7 and 8 again. Then they were all amazed and marveled, saying to one another, look, are not all these people Galileans? And how is it that we hear in our own language in which we were born? Brethren, let's read down a little bit more. I can't read it all because I only have 10 minutes, but let's look at verse 12. So they were all amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Others mocking said, nah, I know what it is. They're full of new wine. What? You're hearing the wonders of God preached intelligently, and you say that they're drunk? Doesn't make sense. Doesn't make any sense to me at all. After our recent Pentecost service, did this occur to any of you? Just kind of wonder. Perhaps you spoke to one another about what Mr. Victor Howe had to say to us in his excellent, complete sermon message, or maybe you just settled down to wait and see what delicious and nutritious treats we were going to have on that Pentecost. And now the point I want to make, because I'm almost finished. We have been called and chosen to finish the work. We weren't there at the beginning. And this is not the beginning. This is the end time. You know, we don't know how close we are to the end, but we are to help be the ones that were chosen to finish the work. So we can't give it up. We can't say, well, you know, somebody else will do it. No, it's us. We. Some of those who heard the wonderful works of God, verse 11, did not think the speakers were drunk. Some of them heard the 120 in that little area, and they were motivated to want whatever it was that gave them the ability to speak like that. And later, what's it say? 3,000 more were baptized that day. Who baptized them? You know, when you're baptized, Suzanne and I helped with the baptism the other day, probably a month ago now. But it takes more than one to hold the guy under the water, or the girl, or whoever it is, and to make sure that everything is done correctly. So 3,000 more were baptized that very day, that Pentecost day. 3,000. It took probably all of the 120 working together, you know. But God works. I've got to say this. God works through people like us. God works through people. Does God need people? No. But God invented or created people because he wanted to do it that way. He's got millions of angels that can do all sorts of things. But no, he wants us to be participants. Okay. Some of those who heard the wonderful works of God, verse 11, did not think that the speakers were drunk. They must have been sincere pilgrims coming to Jerusalem to celebrate one of God's commanded days. We know this later because, as I said, 3,000 more were baptized that day. Brethren, did you feel this when you went to Pentecost services the other day? Did you think in your head, this is a big deal? We're recapitulating, nice word, we're doing again what happened a couple thousand years ago. Did you feel that? And now let me repeat what the title of the sermonette was again. It's the finish. It's the finish, not the start, that really counts. We are not quite done yet. We're not done yet. And we don't know how much longer we have. We don't know how much longer we have to do the work that God has given us to do. But we have been given the powerful gift of God's Holy Spirit to do something with it now. I'm sure the 3,000 who received God's Spirit at that first special Pentecost went back home to their native country with zeal. Bet they did. So how about you and me? We're not much alone, but together with God, we constitute a great army. Last scripture. I'm going to have you flip your pages. Turn to Luke 21, verse 20. Luke 21. And I'll do that too. Luke 21. And if you get there before me, Luke 21, verse 20. This is a prophecy. This is a prophecy by Jesus Christ. And when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation is near. I don't know if any of you watch the news. I watch the news. Stuff's happening over there right now, today. So, keep alert.